eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father.
One more time.
Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mouth. The Father's supply.
Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for a beautiful day that you give us, Lord. We thank you for the health and the strength. Lord, we thank you for the desire that's in our hearts this morning. Lord, for the love of truth. Lord, for the presence of God in this last day. We thank you, Lord, that you chose us and predestinated us before the foundation of the world, Lord, to manifest this great day and age, to manifest the presence of Jesus Christ in the last days. And Lord, that it sounds so big and so great to the feeble mind, but Lord, to the promise that you gave before the foundation of the world, Lord, that you would have a bride without spot or wrinkle. Lord, and that has come to pass in this last day. Lord, that she is the living God in flesh. Lord, that she is the manifestation of the promise for this last day. Lord, no matter how big, too big it seems for the mind, for the carnal mind, for the feeble mind, Lord, thy word is true. And thy word has come to pass in this last day. And we thank you and praise you. Well, may you bless your bride, Lord, that predestinated seed around the world this morning, Lord. Wherever, whatever it is, at night, day, afternoon, Lord, bless her and strengthen her, Lord, to stand and manifest the promise. Lord, as we thank you in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise. You can be seated. So good to see you, each one. We just thank God, and we're so happy to see Sharon with us this morning. We thank God, and may God bless you. So much, and just continue to bless each one, each member of the body. Amen. So we thank God. We want to say we really appreciate Brother Goomba and the message on Wednesday, and was really good. Unfortunately, we were not able to listen Wednesday night. We had so much going with the family, and I thought I was going to go down there and just really chill and study. I was going to have all this time on my hands. And I didn't get anything that I thought I was going to do done, but we got other things done. And so we thank you for your prayers for us, for the journey, and for my mom. We thank you so much. And I really feel like mom has mellowed up some, and she's doing better. And, you know, the symptoms are there. That's there. It's not going away. These things don't reverse themselves unless God does something. And so... and he's able, but we thank him that she's accepting where she's at. And that's the hardest thing, is when you're trying to help somebody who's not remembering, they don't know, and they are defying you because they don't think they need you to remind them of anything. And so that's a bad place to be in. And so I watched my grandma. She lived to a 99 and a half. Now my mom is 87 and a half, almost 88. And, you know, if time goes on, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. And this country and I honestly believe it's because of the food and the hybrid food and the fast food and everything that is there. It's what's causing it, making it worse in this country than anywhere else. I don't know of other countries that it's affecting like it is here. And I blame it on I blame it on that. And of course, the science does too, but there's other things. We know that it's the devil. But anyways, so now I wanted to make you aware now that next Saturday, Brother Benjamin is going to be flying out, headed back to India. So this is his last week with us, and so we've really enjoyed having him with us, and we've had a good time. He's helped me on the job, helped me around the house, and has helped Brother Michael here on the church. And so he's the one thing that the Lord didn't do for him that he really wanted. He wanted to have a service in this building before he went home. And so he said, "Brother, can we do it?" And he didn't just start that in the last 2 weeks. He started that when he arrived. He wanted to get it done. And I tell you, if we had the funds and we just turned him loose, he'd have it. And of course, if we had the funds, Brother Michael would have it done already. So, but God has blessed us, and it's coming a long ways. It's come a long ways, and it's really looking good. And I feel bad sometimes because Brother Michael spent a lot of lonely hours out there. And if the truth be known, Sister Amanda spent a lot of hours out there with him. And so there's sometimes some things you just can't do. You just need somebody to hold the end of the board, or just somebody to hold this or hold that. And we've wanted to think that the intelligence part of it is all us. But we somewhere along the line, Brother Michael said, we should put in a water fountain. And so we thought, well, that's a great idea. And we had the plumbing run and everything. And so it was on an L wall. And what we thought about it was on that wall right there. And so you had to go through the corners and everything. It just wasn't feasible to get the drain pipe, cut all that out, get a drain pipe, and put it together and go through the... And so we just dropped the idea. And so Amanda walks out there and says, "Well, why don't you just take it off that wall and put it on this wall and go straight through the wall?" And she's kind of embarrassed us. That was the simplicity of it. That was all. We just had it in our mind. That was the wall. But all you had to do is put it on this wall, and you're straight into the cabinet, straight into the pipe. So God has a way. Amen. So we thank God for each one, because God has each one. You're unique. You're unique. And we keep saying that. Brother Goomba said it. We've all said it. And as Brother Branham, Brother Branham said one time, he said, "There's many Billy Grahams in the world today. Many Billy Grahams. And what are they? They're copies. They're impersonators. They're this, they're that. They're wannabes. I want to be like Billy Graham. I want to do this. I want to do that." But Brother Branham said, God only made one.
That's right.
Billy Graham. God made one. Yep. He only made one William Branham. He only made one Richard Dozier.
Yes, see,
no matter how much people copy, how much people impersonate, there's only one of you.
Amen.
And that's the one God made.
Right.
And so, we thank God. Now, one more thing before we get started now, and that is, we've joined the war. We have bombed Iran, and our planes left out of here, I believe, on Friday evening from Missouri. Those B-2 stealth bombers loaded with those, I think they dropped 14 bunker busters. There was a lot of other stuff, but those. And so they made an 18-hour flight, coming from here. So I'm only assuming that those particular planes that can do that particular bomb, that don't leave them around the world. I don't know. I don't know why they would travel from here. Why couldn't they just take the bombs over there and load the plane over there and all that? But they left from here, and they refueled several times in the air. And they arrived there around 2:10 in the night. And they called it a success. We don't know what the repercussions will be, but it's official now. We have, in the beginning we said, Trump was saying, we're not in it. Of course, if you're supplying the stuff, you're still in it. But anyways, now we're in it 100%. And so we don't know where to go, what it'll do, but
Amen.
We're thankful that we're in Christ.
Amen.
We're thankful that we're in a kingdom that no bombs can hurt.
That's right.
That no country can touch it. Nobody can tell you. You say, they can kill this. They can kill this piece of flesh. But what's on the inside, they can't touch.
Amen.
And that's what God is protecting.
Yes, sir.
And so we thank God so much. All right. So now, I just have a few. I have some scriptures today I want to read. I'm going to start in Psalms chapter 56. And I have a lot of quotes that I want to read, but I don't. I just didn't think I'd get through these scriptures and then read the quotes too. So if the Lord will help me, and I'm going to do my best, I want to get away from apologizing. I want to get away from that. I'm convinced that what I'm preaching on, what I'm talking about, God has put it on my heart.
Amen.
And no matter how much it seems like it just comes, you know, you're going one way and all of a sudden you get turned this way and you're doing this. And I realize I'm a man, and I realize, and Brother Gomba, Brother Michael, you know, a lot of times the scripture says, humble yourself.
Amen.
And we want to do that. We want to humble ourselves. But we also want to recognize not just the ministers, but every single individual, every member of the body of Jesus Christ, we want to recognize who we are.
Amen.
And the more we recognize that God is moving the body by the Word and by His Spirit,
yes,
the more we begin to realize that we aren't doing it. It's not because I studied this much and I came up with this great message and I did this and now I'm helping God. No. No, it's me struggling, not knowing what to do, and God just putting something there.
Yes.
God doing something and then helping you when you think, even you think you're coming and you're going to preach something and God takes it this way and takes it that way. And you realize that it's not even you. That you realize that God's doing something.
Amen.
And then you watch the life of the people. You watch the life of the people and you see God doing something for each one.
Amen.
You see Him moving and moving and moving. And knowing, and them recognizing. That's the beauty part of it. Them recognizing the presence of God, the power of God in their life. And the more time we spend with Him, the closer we walk to Him, the more it recognition, the more realization, the more revelation that He gives, the more that He makes it real to us what He's doing.
That's right.
And He's taken over. He's in full control.
Yes, sir.
And so as much as we try, you know, that's the reason why He said, take no thought.
Yes.
Take no thought for what you'll say, for in that hour, I'm going to give it to you.
Yes, sir.
And it doesn't mean don't pray. Doesn't mean don't study. Doesn't mean none of that. But it means that don't you worry.
That's right.
About what you're going to say.
Amen.
You do your part and then you rest.
Yes.
And you let God do what He's going to do.
That's right.
And the early days on the mission field in India, I seen it. And then when you get away from that, that fear comes back. But I seen months at a time being there and going places. You don't have time to study. You don't have time to read. You don't have time to pray. You just pull up, you get out, and they put you in the pulpit. Brother Bingumba, how many times has that happened to you? Huh? You get off the bus, you walk, they meet you at the bus, and then you walk maybe a mile or two or how far it is to the church. And then you get there, and you hear, as you're walking up, you hear them singing. You hear them praising God. And you know you're going straight in. It's not time to get ready. No, it's time now for God to manifest.
Amen.
What He promised He would do.
Yes,
and that's what He does. And He brings it to pass. And then sometimes we experience it. And it just melts our heart and we praise God and we worship and we thank Him.
Amen.
And then we go right back, the same thing again, and we're fearing.
Yeah.
What am I going to say? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
That's this flesh. It's there. It's always going to be there. But that thing that's on the inside is getting bigger and bigger. And it's getting stronger and stronger. And it's becoming more real and more real.
Yes, sir.
Until this here is not going to be able to hold it one day.
That's right.
One day it's not going to be able to hold it no longer. And it's going to step out.
Amen.
So in Psalms chapter 56 and verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Huh? That time that I'm fearing, I'm trusting in you, Lord, yes. Knowing. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
Amen.
And this is something that we have to, you know, the scripture says, come as little children. And have you ever noticed when you're raising up children in the message and the revelation that sometimes they say things around other people, maybe unbelievers or supposed to be believers, and you feel a little bit embarrassed because they just take what you've taught them and what they've heard you say, and they say it with no shame, and they say it with no regard for what your feelings are or what you're going to think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all of us have experienced that. They just speak it. And according to the scripture, Jesus just spoke it. He was not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
And so, and we know Brother Branham was very, he was very considerate sometimes, but yet he still spoke, and he spoke plainly. And so there's a really fine line where we should be on when we're speaking. And are we petting and petting and petting, afraid to say the truth that's living in us? And why? Because of their customers, and they're maybe not going to use you anymore, or maybe they're not going to like you, or more society or social, whatever it is. For whatever reason do we hold back? Why do we feel like sometimes they, and I might, maybe for me I'm guilty. It's so much easier for me to talk to somebody who is at least familiar with the message. You feel like you have a starting place.
Yeah.
But when people don't know nothing, they don't believe nothing,
yeah,
then you feel like, well, how are they going to believe?
Yeah.
The same God that got you is the same God that will get them.
Yes, sir.
We had to put those things aside.
Amen.
God is the God of the living.
Amen.
If the seed is in there, he'll quicken the seed.
That's right.
And we just need to speak the word.
Yes.
Just speak it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a seed there, he's going to get it. If there's a seed there, it was put in there before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
This is not something he created and put in there after everything got rolling.
That's right.
No, it's not. And this is some of what we're talking about today.
Okay.
And this, we've been talking about predestination for a little while. We've still got the same title, and I'm not changing it because somehow or another I'm going to continue on it. But
okay.
This is a part of it. The revelation's a part of it.
Yes.
It all of it comes to a climax. And this is the predestination is one of the many things that opened up. It opened up after the seals was revealed.
Amen.
No matter how much we believe predestination, how much we understood it, how many scriptures we had, it got greater.
Yes.
It got greater after the seals opened. And that's when the eternal thoughts of God began to open up. And that's when his omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence and all began to open up. And we began to see who he is. And we began to see who we are.
That's right.
Especially in this last day. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. And when they wait for my soul. Now, the wording here is more how they use in the Eastern countries. But let me go back to that. Oh, they mark my steps. I was thinking about that. So, you would use that in Kenya of taking notice of maybe One time it caught my, really caught my attention because this guy that used to work with Mama Autumn, he got robbed. And there was just the crowd come around him. And they were in right in Nairobi, right downtown, and several guys come around. They just started beating him and just started unloading. He emptied his pockets. They took his phone. They took everything that he had on him. And so then they just went different directions, knowing they were going to meet later and divide the bounty. So the story is being told, and she said, he marked the one that took his phone. Because they had that was the most important thing he had, and they cost a lot of money. And so he marked the one that took his phone. And so they all went every direction, and he followed that one that he marked. And so that's the way it's used. That's the way the word is used. It's taken note of. It's holding on to that one thing. And that you can see it. See, when they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Isn't that just poetic? Just something about the whole wording. See, put my tears in your bottle, Lord. You take my tears. See, aren't they already there in your book that you already knew before the foundation of the world? Every tear that I would have, every trouble I would have, every trial, every trouble, every temptation, everything I'd ever have, it's already in the book. You knew, Lord, all of it. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. Oh, if this could just be engraved in our hearts. So clearly that we know that God is for you.
Amen.
That God is with you. That God is guiding you. God is keeping you. No matter what. And we can look back. And this is the thing. And I say this for Sister Sharon. When I was in the world. When I was in drugs. When I was caught up. And had no desire for God. It was after He drawed me, after He opened my eyes and opened my heart and gave me revelation to see this day and hour. I was able to look back. I was able to look back and see while I was there how He was moving me. How He's moving you. Everyone, you think, oh, He's just... it moving you now because you've been... No! He's moving every one of you in here.
Amen.
He was moving you before you ever noticed Him, before He ever drawled you, before He ever did anything.
Right.
And I say that, sister, because you know already what God has done for you.
Amen.
You know how God blessed you. You know how God came on the scene for you and delivered you.
Amen.
And He ain't let you go yet. Your being here today is a miracle in itself.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. We rejoice in Christ in that. But you know, God can take us anyone at any time.
Amen.
At any time.
Amen. That's right.
It reminds me when I was there. When I was in the world, I was going so hard the other way. I didn't have any desire toward God. I didn't know nothing about God. I never went to church. I never had a desire for church. There was nothing there for me whatsoever. It was strictly the world, the things of the world. It was drugs and drinking. It was everything that was wrong. Everything that was bad. Everything that was killing me. That's the direction I wanted to go. That was me. But when He came, He changed that. And I thank God for me, it happened overnight. It don't always happen overnight. Sometimes it takes years. That's up to God.
Yes, sir.
That's totally in God's hands. But when God is ready, He takes it away.
Yes, sir.
And he took it away from me. I heard the message, and that night, I went to the river. And I just was there. That river, brother, I showed you the Suwannee River. We crossed over it many times. I went to that river that night. First time I heard the message. He did something that wouldn't let me get away. And when he did it to every one of you. When he is ready, when he is decided, no more, then he changes it. He changes you. He takes it out of you. He takes that out of you and he puts that, he quickens that seed that's in there and brings it to life.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. This I know, for God is with me.
Amen.
I hear unbelievers say that.
That's right.
I hear nominal believers say that.
Yeah, yes,
I hear make believers say that.
Yes, sir.
I think they say it more than the true believers say it.
Yes, sir.
We need to say it.
Amen.
We need to be speaking it.
Right.
This I know, for God is with me. God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows, are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto Thee.
Amen.
That's right. For Thou hast delivered me, delivered my soul from death.
Amen.
Brother Gumbo was really stressing this on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You can't die.
That's right.
No. When you've been born again, you can't die.
That's right.
That's right. We're talking about the soul.
Right.
We're talking about eternal life.
Yes, sir.
No. This flesh is going to die. It's all going to die.
Yep.
There's none that will remain. None.
Right.
All flesh will die.
Yes, sir.
But to the born again, you can't die.
Amen.
Yeah, brother, I really enjoyed that.
Amen.
That was really good. Thou hast delivered my soul from death.
Yes.
Will not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Now, this is Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen.
He has. He searched you. He found you.
Amen.
You know, when you read it in the Bible like that, and it makes it sound like God didn't know where you were. And He come, Adam, where are you? Adam, where art thou? Huh? Like God didn't know? He knew.
Amen.
But He was coming for you. And He lets you know He's coming for you.
That's right.
Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Amen.
Now, God understands your thoughts. All of your thoughts.
Yes,
now, sometimes You have some people that you talk to and that you fellowship with, and it just seemed like you talk and you're right on the same level. You're just right on the same level. And then there's other people you talk to, and it's like you have the hardest time understanding them. It's like they're on a different level, a different wavelength or something, and they're talking one thing, you're talking another thing. But with God, He knows both sides. He knows mine, He knows yours, He knows everybody's. He knows. He understands my thought afar off.
Amen.
Ever watch sometimes parents that know their children and they tell them something and they know what those children are going to do? The parent, I remember one time my dad did it to me. We were, my mom and dad had separated, and so we went for a couple weeks in the summertime, and they had a ballpark right there close to his house, and they were playing games and everything. And so if I could get some change, they had the concession stand, and they had snow cones and popcorn and sodas and all those things that little kids like. And so I told my dad, I said, I'm going to go over to the ballpark. He said, you go over there and buy any food. We're fixing to eat supper in just about 30 minutes. He said, don't eat or drink. I went straight out that door. I never looked behind me. I just went through that bar cup, went straight to the concession stand, went straight over there and got me a snow cone. And I'm just enjoying that thing. And all of a sudden I turn around and I'm looking at my dad. He just followed me right out of the house and he followed me right out. He knew what I was going to do. He knew exactly what I was going to do. He said, I ought to beat you. He didn't. But he probably should have. But he knew. That's the thing. And God knows. God knows because God made you. He knows your nature. He knows your personality. Every one of us are different. We have different personalities. We some things bother one and don't bother another one. Every one of us, when we run into a problem, we handle it differently. But every one of us Christians, but still our personality affects the way we approach things. And that's why sometimes we can help each other, sometimes we can't. Sometimes our will is strong and we're going to do it this way, this is my way. And sometimes God blesses that, sometimes He don't.
That's right.
But He knows.
Right.
He made us that way. God made us that way.
Yes.
He made Eve that way to fulfill His purpose.
Yes.
That's what He did. He made her that way to fulfill His purpose. And we're not going to read it today, but we're going to read it. I'm going to get it. And like I said, I don't know why that I got off on this the way we have. We believe in predestination. Everybody here believes in predestination. And we're not preaching anything new.
That's right.
The things that we're preaching were preached way back there. Way back there. Different titles, same subjects. And so nothing new. But it's just like what Brother Goomba was bringing on Wednesday, last Sunday. It's not anything new. I think Brother Holmes, some of those things was in series even 30 years ago. 30 years ago. But the thing is, on all of these things that we're preaching now is new challenges. Because you look how people are taking it, taking the revelation, and now they're adding this and they're adding that. And so you look how Brother Goomba was coming. He's putting it back in its place. He's putting it back in its right place, the order of His coming. And where you have different ideas, one going this way and one going that way. Same thing when we're talking about the soul. You look at the soul now, how many ideas? People are talking about it, it's eternal or it's not eternal or it becomes eternal. And it's just like the message has become a bunch of options. And so I honestly believe that God has got ministers around the world that is that are trying to hold it in place, put it back in its place.
Yes, sir.
We have the revelation. We have the message.
Yes, sir.
We have it. It's here. It's in print. It's still the voice. We have the voice. We can hear it. We can read it. All of it is there.
Amen.
But there's been so many ideas put to it now. There's been so many years after so long. The people are taking it and dividing it and hacking it. And it's amazing sometimes. And you think, where did they come with that idea? Where did this come from? Sometimes you don't even understand their question. Because they don't word it like the prophet words it. If you word it like the prophet words it, then it's going to be easy to answer your question. Because you're just going to say what the prophet said, and your answer is going to be right there.
Yep.
But when you take a little bit of what the prophet said, and you put a little bit of this here intellect to it, and a little bit of that their idea to it, and a little bit of this.
Yep.
And after a while, you're not even sure what's being asked.
Right.
You study the message. The message is in you.
Yes.
And when you hear the message, you know that it's the message or not. You hear preachers preaching. You say, if I'm preaching, you know whether I'm coming with the word or not. It's not a matter of me trying to convince you. You already know. Because there's something in you. There's a detector in there. When Guma was preaching on Wednesday night, he's not trying to change anything. And if he was, you would know it.
Yes, sir.
But you listen and it just flows. It just flows right through the message. Because he's not adding anything. He's just coming right with what the prophet said.
Amen.
And he's just putting it in the order there.
Right.
Just like the prophet did. You think? How Brother Branham would take what Brother Gumba on Revelations 10 and divided it up into three. Huh? Now, you have to have some revelation to put it in the order that he put it in.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Is that right?
Yes.
And the order that he put it in, you understand it because it goes with the rest of the message.
Sorry.
That right?
Right?
You say, no, it should be 1, 2, 3. Instead, he's got it 2, 1, 3.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But he said it just like the prophet taught it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get off on that. But you hear those things and then it sucks you in. Praise God. All right, we got a lot of scripture here. I want to read them. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. That's about all the seed. He's talking about the thought. I throw another scripture in here, just as by the way, and I'm going to try to leave some of it off. Well, maybe I won't. I could just quote it actually, but I'm going to read it to you. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest. Look at, he puts it right on the Lord. You know I love you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Huh? Peter is saying, reconfirming what's in his heart. That God knows all things. And that this is God. And Lord, you're asking me now, and you already know that I love you. You know. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved. He's really being checked now. Lord's really making it go down deep. Yeah, I know what your thoughts are. I know what's in your heart. But are you going to do it? Sometimes that's what we need because of this personality we have, this flesh that we have. Sometimes the word has to check us
yes.
a second time or a third time and make sure that he's got our attention. And you can be sure he's got Peter's attention. Because Peter denied him three times. And now Peter's having to confirm three times that he loves him. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things.
Amen.
All things, Lord, you know. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus never changed the end, did he? He never changed the end equation. He never changed the ending of what the conversation was about. This is what I want you to do, Peter. So he checked him and checked him and checked him. But he only had one objective, and that was the word. I want you to feed the sheep. All right, I'm going to skip down. Psalms 139. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Huh? Not one word that I can speak that God don't know.
Amen.
God knows everything you think. He knows everything that you say. He knows every movement that you make. When I was young and I lied to my dad, he knew what I was thinking. And he just let me go out the door and he walked. I never even looked behind me. This is the way we do. We don't even look back. I never looked back. I just went right straight to what I had that I wanted. God has something he wants too.
Yes, sir.
God wants you. And that want he wants is a full surrender to him.
Amen.
And he's going to get it. He may give you time. He may give you rope. He may give you a lot. But he ain't going to change his mind. No, not for the seed.
Amen.
Now, if there's no seed there, you have a different purpose in this life. Your purpose is different than the seed, the predestinated of God. You're here for a different purpose. And that's the group that he's talking about. When he's talking about, I never knew you. He says, depart from me. You workers of, I never knew you. When he does know them. But he never had a relationship with them. He never was going to have a relationship. They were never going to be able to come together.
Amen.
They were never going to be able to serve him. They were never going to be able to recognize him in the fullness of any age.
That's right.
Whatever he was bringing in that day, they would never be able to recognize it fully what God was doing. Because there wasn't anything there to recognize with. And that tells us that that seed, when it's quickened, it's going to recognize the word of the day.
Amen.
For I want to read it again. For there's not a word in my tongue that comes out of my mouth, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me. Behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Now that word beset has a lot of meanings, but it can mean enclosed. It can mean shut up. It can be confined, besieged. A lot of different meanings. But everything he's saying here, you have beset me. You have encamped about me. In the back and in the front, all around me, you've enclosed me,
Amen.
Lord. That's right. And laid thy hand upon me.
Amen.
Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain unto it.
Amen.
I think every one of us, sometimes when we sit down and we think about God and just... You can take any one thing. You can take the universe. You can take the stars. You can take the human body. You can take nature. You can take so many things and look at the just supernatural, the complexity of it all and see how perfectly that it operates and how perfectly that it flows. You look at the tides coming in and out. How could the moon affect the tides coming in and out? Not something. He said, I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit? Or rather shall I flee from thy presence? I don't know if I ever preached on this scripture. Probably have, maybe read it before, but I've quoted it a lot of times. Because what he's fixing to say brings in a lot of different thoughts. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? In other words, how am I going to get away from you? Where can I hide? Where could Adam hide that God couldn't find him? Where can you hide that God can't find you? You can't come unless he draws you. So where could Jonah go? Where could he hide that God couldn't find him? In the bow of a ship? In the belly of a whale? Huh? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Is that right? He created all of it, didn't he? He knows all of it. He's the sovereign God in control of everything. You know, it makes me think, there was a man one time, Brother Branham said that he was a Christian. I don't know if he was a minister, you might remember. But anyways, I guess he got tired, he got weary, something happened. And he went and bought a case of beer. And somebody come said something to him. He said, no, I don't serve the Lord no more. Said he just started drinking. And the Brother Branham said, whatever it was that affected him. And now, I don't know how to apply that now after the seals. I hadn't really thought about it. But the thought came to me. And Brother Branham said that God, so that was a believer, said God took him home. The point is this. No matter what, where you are, if the seed of God is in you, God is going to get you.
Yes,
so, he was serving the Lord, and then he just got tired and weary and said, I don't want to do this no more. I can't take the pressure no more. Then God took him home. So if you're a seed of God, God is going to get his seed.
Yes, sir.
Nothing's going to stop that.
Amen.
Nothing is going to stop it. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Huh? Mm-hmm. Where did he find Jonah? God was still in control, wasn't he?
Amen.
Yeah. He goes into the sea. He gets picked up by a fish. And then who's steering the fish?
Right. That's right.
Is Jonah in control?
Nope.
Is Jonah saying, well, I think I'm going to do what you wanted, Lord. It's out of his hands.
That's right.
It's completely out of his hands.
Yes, sir.
And God is in control of this thing. How is God directing a fish to go to another country?
Yes, sir.
A 3-day journey.
That's right.
In the ocean.
Amen.
Verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me. Even in the sea.
Yep.
Even in the depths of the sea. Wherever I go. If I go to heaven, if I go to hell, wherever I go. Even thy hand will lead me. Why? Because you're for me, you're with me, and I know it. That's right. David knew it. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. How many times in the scripture did that scripture manifest? When the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, is that right? There was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No matter what. If it's dark, if it's trouble, if it's bad times, if it's trials, whatever it is, his hand's upon you. And it'll be light. God will give you light in that darkness.
Yes.
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Why? Because he's in control.
Amen.
He's in control of both. He's in control of all of it.
Right.
And he's in control of every life, every soul, every person.
Amen.
That's why if you were created for something other than to be a son of God, then you can't be a son of God. If you were created for some other purpose, then you'll never be this. This will never work for you. You'll never love this message. You'll never love God fully. You'll never.
Amen.
If you weren't made for that, that's predestination.
Yes, sir.
That's believing a sovereign God is in control of everything and everybody and every thought.
Amen.
And the thoughts he had in his mind were eternal thoughts. And those eternal thoughts had to come to expression. And when they did, they were expressing him. They were only expressing the nature of God.
Amen.
And that's, Brother Branham, he nailed that down. He nailed the whole concept down. He nailed the whole thought down. He said, you take a pig or a hog out here in the slop, and somehow or another, a hog pen is always the sloppiest, muddiest, stinkiest place on the farm. Because they're always rooting. So when it rains, then that becomes what it is. And then all their waste and all of that, it just becomes a stink. And then they lay in it and they root in it. And that's what you have. And it don't matter. I did it. I proved it. When I was in school, I raised hogs. We showed them. We showed them. And we would clean them up. I liked a Yorkshire, the white ones. We'd clean them up. We'd bathe them. Put a ribbon on them. Powder. Johnson's talcum powder, baby powder. Put that white powder on there. They look nice. They smell nice. Do you know, if you don't clean that pen that they're waiting on before they go into the showroom, if you don't clean it perfectly, they are going to be filthy. And chances are, 9 times out of 10, they're going to defecate while they're in that pen. Then they're going to roll in it and rub in it, and they're going to be just filthy, nasty in just no time at all. That's because they're a pig.
Yes.
That's what pigs do. But Brother Branham said, if you could take the nature out of that pig and put the nature of a lamb in that pig, he would not waller in the slop anymore. Think about that. If you change his nature, he will not. You'll never see a lamb looking for a slop hole to waller in and root in. No. They hop over it. They're looking for some grass. Why? The nature is different.
Yes, sir.
Brother, sister, that is a revelation.
Amen.
In this day.
That's right.
It is the nature. The soul is the nature of the spirit.
Amen.
That's what the soul is. You know, we say a bunch of different stuff, but the soul is the nature of the spirit.
That's right.
So if you're born with one nature, that means you were born with one soul. If you have another nature down in there, then there's another one waiting to be quickened.
That's right.
Waiting to be brought to life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that at face value and you say, well, see, you can see there that this one was dormant and then now this is quickened, so now this one is created. No, that's not what he said.
Nope.
Because there's another revelation that he came with that said, you were an eternal thought of God.
Yes.
And that eternal thought of God made you a part of God.
That's right.
Think about that. That revelation flows into the rest of the message.
Mm-hmm.
It flows into the rest of the message. And it messes up. It really messes up these little pet doctrines that people have. Because that life, that thought of God was eternal.
Amen.
So it never had a beginning. It never has an ending. Think on that. Think on it. So Brother Branham said, it is not like a contractor or a person with a set of blueprints that one day is going to become substance. Listen to what he's saying. I'm not reading it, but I'm going to read it. But I keep quoting it. I've quoted it so many times I don't need to read it. But But anyways, he said that one day we'll become substance. He said, no. It's already substance. How can a thought already be substance? Because he goes on to say that it's going to have to express. Those thoughts are going to have to express and manifest. But the difference is that they're already real. They're already substance. So there, once again, goes right back to that thing of, I never knew you.
Nope.
See? Because they were not a part of his thoughts. They were not a part of that eternal life. They were not a part of that eternal spirit. He said that gives an eternal quality to the elect. And that word quality goes back again to nature. It just always goes together. So whatever his nature is, that's the same thing you got. That's the same thing that you are.
Amen.
13. For thou possessest my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, reins in the scripture, it means literally kidneys. But figuratively, it means the seat of emotion and affection. And so that's how it was used. A lot of times in the scripture, it was used figuratively of that. And affection is your love. And so, and you know the three circles, body, soul, and spirit. So you know how that goes together. See, thou hast covered me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. How about that? My substance was not hid from thee. Now that word substance here means my form. So your form, we're thinking of flesh. But the word also means to be foreordained. Not just your form, but to be foreordained. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. See? Thine eyes did see my substance, and yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. You wonder where David come off with this book. Where did he come with this book? My tears are in your book. My thoughts are in your book. Everything about me is in your book.
Amen.
Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When there was none of them, they were already in your book. And you have seen me, you knew me, all about me. Every thought that I would have, you knew. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Watch this. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them thine enemies. Now, we're not supposed to hate anybody. Is that right? But David had perfect hate. What he hated was somebody who didn't love the word. He hated people coming against the word. He hated the whole thought of it, the whole part of it.
Amen.
And that's the thing. You can love the person, but you don't love what they're doing.
That's right.
You can love the person, but you're fearful for their soul when they speak against it. A perfect hatred. You know that word means completeness, fullness. a consummation. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, he's crying out for every one of us.
Amen.
He's crying out for every one of us. Because what he wants is what we want. The same thing. The same God in him is the same God that's in us today. In Jeremiah, this comes right back to some of the same things. Taking you back before the foundation of the world. Where you were in him before the foundation of the world. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest that were in Athadoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days, I don't know how to say that, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now that's what David was saying. Same thing. Before I formed you, before I gave you a body, before I created your spirit, I knew you. Huh?
That's right.
I knew you. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. Now this is the same thing Paul says in Romans when he says that he knew you and he glorified you and he justified you and all of it before the foundation of the world. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, listen to this, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. This is us.
Amen.
This is us. This is us ministers. This is us. This is our nervousness. This is our weakness. This is our fear. Lord, I can't do it. I'm not deep enough in the message. I don't know enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm just a child. What does God say? But the Lord said unto me, say not. Don't you say it no more. Don't you say it no more. Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee.
Amen.
Every one of you are going to go where he sent you.
Amen.
How you got here in North Carolina. I want to know how many here was born and raised in this area. 1, 2, 3. Now all the same time. 4. So, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. 20-something people, and only 4 of them are originally from here. Now tell me something. Let's do another one. How many were originally from this country? Benjamin? So, there's a minority. Now tell me how you got here. Tell me how God got you here from other states. I came from another state. You came from other countries, many of you. That's what I meant to say. How many of you come from a different country than this country? That most of the hands will go up. Think about it. God brought a group of people together. Brother Branham talked about it too. The same thing. And my wife sent me a quote and I put it on the group, on the church group. And you read it. And the sister was, some sister was telling Brother Branham or telling the people that how the message needed to be going to the nerve spots. It needed to go to the big places. It needed to go to the big churches and the big cities. Brother Branham said, no, that ain't where it needs to go. He said it don't need none of that.
Amen.
God is going to go out there in the bush,
yes,
and he's going to find a seed.
Yep.
And he's not worried about the thousand that would make a good church and a big church and all of that. He's worried about the one who's got a predestinated seed in there.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's worried about. And he's not worried about it because he already knows the day that he's going to get them and how he's going to get them and where he's going to send the person to them.
Amen.
You think we're here, Brother Michael and I, in the U.S., you think how many people that in this country that have been affected by Brother Goomba or Brother Benjamin or any of you from another country. How many of you here have affected somebody's life in the U.S.?
Yes.
Now tell me why somebody in the U.S. couldn't have done it.
Huh?
Yep. Why couldn't I just said, I'm here, Brother Goomba. You just need to stay in Africa. I'm here. I can do this. I'm God's man. Huh? No.
Nope.
That's not how God works.
That's right.
No. Why didn't God just get somebody in Nineveh and get him to preach to the Ninevans, whatever they were? Huh?
Amen.
Why did God bring something all the way from Kenya, a group of people that needed him there, wanted him there?
Amen.
And God using him here.
Yep. Right.
God is the one doing this.
Amen.
God knows just what you need, and just the one.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And when I first went to Kenya, I can remember saying the same thing. There was a few brothers there, didn't like white men, didn't like white preachers, and some of them with good reason. Some of them have good reason for it. All of it wasn't represented well, and that's in all countries. But that don't change what God's doing.
Amen.
And so there was a brother, he didn't have much for whites, didn't care too much about it, and didn't care too much for me. And I remember us talking about it, and one of us made the statement, I'm sure all of us made the statement at some time or another. And I said, if your problem is with a white man, then it might just be that God sends you a white man to bring you the message.
Yep.
And I said, if my problem is with a black man, it just might be that God's going to send me a black man to bring me the message. That's right. God knows just what we need.
Amen.
He knows just how to do it.
Yep.
And he knows when to do it.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go. He's talking to us.
Yes,
don't make any excuses. Don't say you can't do it. Don't say, and listen, I know that we're weak, and I know we'll have to work on this thing. I know I'll have to work on this because of weakness. And there's not been a one. You look at Moses, you look at the different ones, all of them, they argue with God. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to do it. But did they all go?
Yes, sir.
Did God use them?
Yes, sir.
And did God use Jeremiah?
Yes, sir.
Did he go? Are you going to go?
Yes, sir.
Yes, when God declared
Amen.
That he would have a bride in the last days.
Yes, sir.
And that this bride is going to manifest this great presence of
Amen.
God. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee.
Yes, sir.
And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak it.
Yes.
Praise be to God. And what did our prophet do? Why did they laugh at him? Because God told him, I'm going to send you to kings and potentates. I'm going to send you to great men. I'm going to send you around the world when he was just a little nobody.
Right.
And the big guys, the big preachers, they laughed. They said, man, get beside yourself.
Yeah.
God's going to send you? Mm-hmm. Why, you don't even have a nice suit. God's going to use one of us. God's going to use somebody with a good education, with good clothes, a little bit of money in the bank. You? Come on, you don't even have any qualifications whatsoever. But there was something hidden in his heart.
Amen.
Something hidden in his heart that said, that believed
yes.
what the angel was saying.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
And he kept saying it.
Amen.
He kept saying, God told me. And they just laughed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they seen it happen.
That's right.
That preacher, Brother, what was his name? My mind just went blank. Brother Branham's the Baptist preacher. What was his name? No. That was a doctor. Dr. Adair. No, his pastor was with the Baptist church. He was a big preacher. He, I think, was from Texas. And I've never forgot his name before. What was his name? It'll come. Just to give it a minute, it'll come. So, anyways, this man, he told Brother Branham he was going to have to ordain women preachers. And Brother Branham said, not going to happen. He just, here, a little nobody preacher took the big preacher to the scripture and said, I'm not going to go against the word of God. So he gave him his letter. He gave him his membership. He gave him everything. He said, I'm out of here. And they laughed. They said, so later on, this preacher seen Brother Branham's ministry blossom. This preacher seen that Brother Branham had traveled the world and had prayed for kings and had prayed for great men. He seen it with his eyes. What about John the Baptist? What about John the Baptist? He went right there and stood in the face of the king, knowing that it could cost him his life, and it did cost him his life, his natural life. It cost him. But he went because God sent him to go, and he spoke the revelation of his day. But once again, as was said, you can't die. Can't die. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Be not afraid. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Amen.
Now, is the words in our mouth today?
Yes.
Huh? Have we ate the book today?
Yeah.
Yes, it's in here.
Right.
It's living in here. That's right. God put it in there. See, I have this day set thee. Listen to this now. And I want you to bring it back home. And we're not reading any quotes here on the bride today. But you know where the bride is. And you know the bride's position. But I want you to relate this and bring it back to, as this prophet was to that day, think of what the bride is to this day. I have set this day thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's telling this prophet. Don't tell me you're a child. You're going to speak what I send you to speak. And what I send you to speak is going to be judgment and blessings. It's going to be life and it's going to be death.
That's right.
There's a lot of times a prophet comes along and he's just speaking either good or bad. This, he's speaking both. He's telling him that he's going to put him over kingdoms and nations to root out and pull down and destroy. But he's also going to build. He's also going to plant.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's life. And that's where the bride is. That's where eternal life is. And if anybody's going to get it today, they're going to get it from the bride. And the only way they're going to get it is when you are speaking it. And you are living it. They're going to see your life and they're going to hear you speaking the revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And it will quicken that seed in them.
Amen.
When they see it and they become thirsty and the Spirit of God comes upon them, it will quicken that seed to life. And the rest of it, it'll bring judgment. That's what it's doing. They see it, they reject it, They laugh at it. It's judgment to them. And it's life to another. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. So, I couldn't find what Brother Branham said about these things, what they meant, but some say that the almond tree represents the God's presence and readiness to perform His word. And of course, that's what was being said. We'll read that. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. So this is whatever is coming. I don't know if this is Babylon. And I didn't have much time to spend on it, but I couldn't find where Brother Branham had commented directly. If it's there, it's maybe worded a little bit different or something. But this was definitely impending judgment. This boiling pot pointed toward the brewing trouble, whatever, however you want to look at it. He's speaking of judgment. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof, and against all the cities of Jerusalem. Now all of them are going to come against them. Is that right? But He's already put His man in charge of all of it. Is that right? That's what He said. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. God bringing other nations in to bring judgment upon the children of God that rejected God, that came against God, that was worshiping idols and going contrary to the word of the age. And that's exactly where the bride is today, exactly where the churches are today. They've received the prophet, they've received the revelation, and they've rejected it. And they're in love with the world, and they're in love with their idols, and they're in love with man-made religion. That's right. They seemingly are more on fire for God than the elect of God. You just go. You go see or listen online. And you'll see them dancing and shouting and screaming and falling out in the spirit and laying hands on the sick and just seemingly the power of God just flowing through them. Nothing against that. But we're in a different age. We're in a different age than the Pentecostal age. If you want to have all of that screaming and shouting along with the revelation, I'm all for it. Bring it. But don't take me there and not give me the revelation. I want the revelation. Bring me the revelation and then add unto me all the rest of it. That's okay. I'm okay if people getting healed. I'm okay. You want to pass out in the spirit? Not if you want to, but if God wants you to. And that's how it's supposed to be. Not the same person falling out in every service, the same person shouting in every service, the same person doing this in every service. Amen. Until they start off, you know, they get two or three preachers around, they're praying for them, and pretty soon they're getting more excited and more excited. Pretty soon they start screaming, and then, of course, everybody's ready to catch them because they know they're gonna pass out.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to mock it, but sometime it needs to be mocked. Sometime it needs to be identified for exactly what it is. If it's God, then it'll be real.
Yes, sir.
And it won't be a put on.
Right.
And if a sister falls out under the anointing of God, Her dress isn't going to go up and show her body. She isn't going to, it won't matter if anybody catches her or not.
That's right.
The Spirit's going to land her just right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just telling you.
Amen.
If God's doing it, it's not going to be unholy. It's going to be holy.
Amen.
And it ain't going to be no sex dance.
Right. Right.
They have it in the churches. I've seen it in other countries. But they have it right here. I've seen it in the Philippines. And even some of the preachers there, that I got the name from them. They call it a sex dance in the church. And they're teaching the children. And they're teaching them to sing their Bible song and their gospel song. And they're moving their body like they're in... I'm not even going to describe it. But they're moving their body in a way that you see... Even animals. Verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Huh? Lest I confound thee before them. Don't be distressed. Don't be dismayed. Don't be broken. Don't be upset. This is might be your own people. That's what he's talking about. Don't get scared because you're going to have to tell your own family, your own loved ones, your own people, your whoever God wants you to speak it to. Don't be dismayed.
Amen.
Just speak the word.
Right.
For behold, I've made thee this day a defensed city. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jeremiah and the elect.
Yes.
I have made you a defense city. I have made you an iron pillar. I have made you brazen walls against the whole land.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen. That's right.
That's what you are. You're standing against the whole world.
Yes, sir.
You say, brother, this is in the Old Testament. Yeah. But we can pull it right out of the New Testament.
Yes,
we can pull it right out of the message today that this bride is life and death to the world.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We might not have recognized our position fully, but you, if Christ is in you, you are the bearer of eternal life.
That's right.
And you also are the bearer of the sword of judgment to a dying world.
Amen.
Christ in you. He's all of it. And when he took the book, that's what happened. He finished his meditorial work. He finished the meditorial work. Read your seal book. He finished the meditorial work and he became the judge.
Yes.
And he became the king.
Amen.
And now he is meeting out to the elect eternal life. And he is meeting out to the non-elect judgment. Against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Now, that word, he said, he made you, I have made thee this day a defense city. You know what that word means? It means fortified. It means a fortress.
Amen.
You can have a fort, you can have a weak fort, but you can have a fortified fortress. And that's something that's reinforced. And that's something that you are. That's something that you are. And you're fortified by the revelation. You're fortified by the Spirit of God. And it's for this day. And they shall fight against thee. Huh? They, all of them. All of them. Brother Branham said, all hell is against this revelation. All hell is against this revelation. But they shall not prevail against thee.
Amen.
For I'm with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee.
Yes.
How where he started out at, David saying the same thing, I'm with you. I'm with you. And Jeremiah saying the same thing, I'm with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you.
Amen.
You're going to speak my word. You're going to take my word to this day and to this age. You're going to do it.
Amen.
And I'll send my angel. God sent an angel. He's always sent his angels. Always. I was reading something. I was telling Benjamin and the wife as we was going down. Brother Branham was in some meetings. I can't remember the name of the message. but anyways, he gave a testimony. And I think he actually was going to preach on Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how Abraham represented election. And then some was justification and different things. But Abraham represented election. And so he said, I want to give you a testimony. And said there was two women that lived in the same neighborhood. And said they came to the meetings together. And one of them had a big lump on her neck. And I think it was a tumor. And so she had this big lump there. And then the other woman, she had, it was stomach problems. And it was, there's a name for it when it's really bad. So it was really bad. She could, every time she ate, she would get headaches and vomit. And so, you don't eat. So you just start dying. You're slowly starving to death. And so, both of these women, they went in the prayer line. And so, Brother Branham told them, said, he said, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. And he told them, he said, now you go back. He said, you testify that you're healed. And he said, don't let Satan take it away from you. And so, they went back home. And so the woman said, well, praise God, I'm healed. She said, I'm going to go eat. And so she went and she had fixed a meal and ate and said, it just was worse. And said she just vomited, got sick and said just everything. And the other woman said she just kept putting her hand up there and said it was still there. It was still there. And so every day she's putting her hand there. And so these two women said, they agreed among themselves. Said, now we're going to just keep testifying. And keep saying, said, because this man, he's telling us that this angel's talking to him, told us things in our life that nobody knew, and said, then, told us what was wrong, and then he told us that thus saith the Lord, we're healed. So they agreed among themselves, we're just going to keep testifying, saying we're healed, even though we're not. Even though all the symptoms are still there. They were healed, but the symptoms were still there. So they go home, and so every day, same thing. So the days turn into weeks until some of the people around them now are beginning to tell them, you're bringing a reproach. You keep saying that you're healed, and we see the lump, we see you can't eat, you know, You need to stop. You're bringing a reproach on God. And the woman said, well, she said, I don't know. She said, somehow, she said, there's something in me that is convinced that thus saith the Lord was true. And she said, I just can't get away from it. And she said, I know that every time I eat, I'm throwing up. It's my body's rejecting it. She said, but I can't get away from it. I can't get away from it. And she said, so I just keep saying it. And the other woman the same. So one day, the woman said, the kids had left and had went to school. She had fixed her breakfast and then sent them to school. And so she seen the piece of toast there on one of them left a piece of toast there and so a little piece. And so she was so hungry, so she took a bite. And she said, it tasted so good. And so that morning, when she was there, she had felt a real funny feeling come over her. And And so she didn't know what it was, and she didn't think anything about it, but she just knew that there was this real cool thing come over her. And so she ate the toast, and she was expecting to throw it up. And she said it didn't. And so she finished the piece of toast, and she waited. She was waiting for it to come up, and it didn't come up. And she thought, wow, that's interesting. And so they had had oatmeal, and so she started taking the rest of their oatmeal, and she started cleaning it up, and she ate some, and nothing happened. So she said she cleaned it all up, ate everything that the kids had left, and then she waited, and nothing happened. And she was like, something's up. So she decided to cook some eggs and make some coffee. And so she cooked the eggs and the coffee, and those are two things you don't do the coffee anyways. But so she ate the eggs and drank the coffee, and she said she waited about 30 minutes. She was just waiting to see. And she said 30, 40 minutes, said she couldn't take it any longer. She just took off running out of the house, running through the neighborhood. And she, when she was coming in the door of her friend's house, she could hear that woman screaming. And said that she was in there that morning and said the same thing. A real cool, funny feeling came over her. And said she just was going on, and said she just had somehow or another reached up and realized it was gone. The thing was gone. And so both of them are just screaming and rejoicing and praising God. And so Brother Branham is telling the story. And he said the problem is we think that it's supposed to happen instantly. It's supposed to happen right now. And that's not the way. Amen. That's not God's way. God lets us go through some trial. God lets us go through some trouble. And said, these women, they had to testify for 6 weeks. Still throwing up. Still having headaches. Still feeling it right there. Huh? 6 weeks. And said, then it was gone. And Brother Branham said, you remember Daniel. You remember Daniel when he prayed, and it took 21 days. 21 days for the angel to get there. They heard the prayer. The prayer was heard. But the angel fought all the way there. But Brother Branham tells this story differently. That it wasn't a battle getting there. It was more like the angel was so busy. He just was so busy, said, when he finally got to this neighborhood. Now, he's been taking care of business. Oh, just think, maybe thousands were healed. And so now he's taking care of business. And so he's been through neighborhood, different town, different city. So he gets to their neighborhood. And so he goes through, comes to one house, visits the sister, lets her have a little toast, a little this. But it's gone, it's finished. Then the angel moves on down the street to the next lady's house. Touches her, gets the same feeling. It's gone. She might not even realize it yet, but it's gone. And the angel just keeps moving on. The next one, the next one, the next one. Huh? That's God taking care of business. Amen. But Brother Adam said, once it's spoken, it cannot be taken back.
Right.
Once it's spoken, thus saith the Lord, it's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
It's going to happen.
Right.
And when God makes a promise to the children of God, to the elect of God, you can bank on it.
Amen.
You can bank on it that God is going to see this thing through. And when He promised that He was going to manifest Himself in His wife in this last days,
Amen.
Then we must wake up to the call.
That's right.
We must wake up to the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. And the only way the world is going to see Jesus Christ today is in you and I. That's the only way. He's not going to come a baby in a manger. He's not going to hang on a cross today. No, He's not going to come like He did in any other day. No, He's here today in His wife. And praise God.
Amen.
He reveals Himself to her.
Yes.
And it doesn't It doesn't make you arrogant. It doesn't make you think you're better than somebody. It humbles you. It humbles you. But it also empowers you to be what God said that you are. And nothing can change that. Nothing else can take that its place. It's like he said about Billy Graham. He said, there's a lot of Billy Grahams in the world, but God only made one. That's right. There's a lot of different ones, but there's only one of you. Praise be to God. Amen. We thank him. We praise him. We know that his word is true. Let us stand together. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, Father, we come humbly before you. We know there's no good thing in this flesh, Lord. Lord, but that predestinated seed, Lord, it is you. It's the only eternal life that there is. And Lord, it's living, it's manifesting. It is, Lord, the promise for the last days, Lord. The coming to maturity. Lord, to bring forth the life of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, just quicken the word to our hearts. Give us that revelation as you did for Jeremiah. And don't say that we're a child and that we can't speak. But Lord, let us just stand surrendered and ready that you can speak, Lord. Let us give our all to your purpose, Lord. To that great threefold purpose as the brother was talking about. Lord, let it come forth. May you bless each one now as you know every heart and every need. Father, you know. Bless Brother Benjamin now as he's preparing the next week, Lord, to make his way. May you lead him and guide him. And we just thank you. We praise you, Father. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. We're going to sing a song. I ask you to come. And praise the Lord.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. Amen. So, Sister Rhonda was right. She told me she was trying to tell me the name, and I was like, I just do it. Dr. Roy Davis?
Yes, Roy Davis.
She was trying to tell me, and I was like, yeah, okay. But so she was right. And I was thinking, Brother Don hit on getting, so I didn't say nothing. So me and Rebecca went out to eat last night, and we was watching a church service coming back. I was driving. She was watching, and we were talking about, not talking bad, but we was just talking about the different ones. There was an anointing there, and there was screaming and hollering and falling out, and preachers on this one, and women were over here working here, and just... There's a lot going on, and again, like Brother Don said, that's all well and good, but give me the revelation. And we were talking about how we was hoping certain ones would go get prayed for, and maybe God would really work on them and do what only He can do. And I was like, and that was the desire, but at the same time, I was like, I made a statement. I was like, I'm all for this, just like the brother said. I'm glad. I'm all for this. I said, but what worries me is when this happens, and they come under the anointing, and they say, "Oh, the Lord's really moving." But what's going to happen tomorrow? What's tomorrow look like? What's next Friday look like? What's next Thursday look like? If God is really, like the brother said, if God's really doing it, then He's going to see that work through.
That's right.
He's not an anointing, and anybody can. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Brother Brandon said that. So it's not an anointing just on the flesh. And it can be powerful, and it can be very persuasive, and can move you, and it can change you for... It can change the rest of your life, even. It can change you for a time. But when that seed that gets quickened, that's God right there. That's God beginning to move. And I'm not saying God's in full control of all things. But I was thinking, the brother was talking about that. Here me and Rebecca was talking about it. No. So you know how Satan comes up. He said, "Well, now Rebecca's over there thinking that you just went and told the pastor everything y'all talked about last night." And I'm like, "No, that's not what she thinks, Satan. Now you can just go on now. That's not what she's thinking." I said, "Here again, God is vindicating. He's doing this. And he said a lot of things that we talked about last night, a lot of things." And I was like, "Just leave it alone." I said, "God's doing this. And he is." So I really appreciate the Lord. I lost my, here we go. I want to sing that song. I was going to sing it earlier. "I've Got Peace Like a River."
Thank you.
Side.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you.